What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Friday, June 23rd, 2017. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. And, of course, in our third hour, the lovely Lady Claire will be joining us. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble. And ready to basically put you on the air as soon as you call in with your comments and criticisms. And as usual, the tantrum people are hacking my server at the start of my show here. All righty, let's see now. Nancy Pelosi, a lot of people are starting to say she's gone off the deep end. She's developed some very strange speech patterns of constant repetition, cutting off in the middle of sentences. And some of her ideas are really getting on out there. Nancy Pelosi's latest brain flash, if you will, is that letting people keep the money that they have earned represents stealing. That, according to her, and this may be true of all liberal Democrats, if you're allowed to keep the money you earn, you are in effect stealing from poor people who didn't earn it. Which is kind of weird coming from somebody with the accumulated wealth that Nancy Pelosi has. Now, Nancy, of course, still sees herself as a main driving force within the Democratic Party, although a lot of people are saying that she is at least in part responsible for the Democratic Party's downturn in fortunes last year, including Hillary Clinton's loss. Now, Cher, the singer, is actually telling Nancy Pelosi that she and the Democrats have messed up so bad, it is time for her to go. And there apparently is this split in the Democratic Party between the old guard, the Pelosis who want to run on identity politics, and the younger progressives who are continuing to center around Bernie Sanders. And apparently there is actually a move within the Democratic Party to try and find a way to basically pry her loose from her position as the House Minority Leader. And according to this article, that CNN, there's a group of Democrats have already held a closed-door meeting looking for a way to somehow get her out of the position and start letting her fade into history here. Now, as you know, the other day, Donald Trump came on out with a very good point. If Russia was interfering with last year's election, why didn't Obama try and stop them? And it's a really good question. And so over at the Washington Compost, they've come out with this story, and it's pure bovine excrement, in which they're out there saying that last August, President Obama was informed by the CIA that they had all kinds of evidence of Russian attempts to hack the election. Now, remember, Jay Johnson has already – nobody's actually found anywhere where Russia actually changed any of the outcomes. But they're out there now, and so according to the Compost, what they're saying is that Obama did, in fact, try and stop the Russians, but it was all done in secret. And the reason we know that's nonsense is because as soon as Hillary lost, they've been screaming Russia, Russia, Russia ever since. If they actually had evidence Russia was interfering with the election last August, why not make it public back then? So that's the latest one from the Washington Compost. And again, if you believe that one, I have some of Saddam's nuclear weapons to sell you. So let's take a look at all the media coverage claiming that Russia was trying to interfere with our government, interfere with the elections, hack the DNC, and not just here in the United States. Over in Germany, Germany's intelligence agency accused Russia of deploying cyber attacks to destabilize their government. They claimed Russia hacked secret German communications and gave them to WikiLeaks. German officials later concluded the communications were likely a leak from an insider within the Bundestag itself. Now, over in France, the Washington Compost, the New York Slimes, Reuters, Politico, Register, and a bunch of other corporate publications claimed that the Russians hacked the French election just like they hacked the U.S. election. The head of the NSA claimed that the NSA actually watched the Russians hack the French elections. the French government says they have found no evidence of Russian hacking. So they're batting zero right now. Over in Qatar, CNN reported U.S. officials suspected that Russia had hacked Qatar's state news agency, triggering this rift with Saudi Arabia. The Qatari government saying, no, it wasn't Russia. They know who it was, and it was one of their neighboring countries. Now, back here in the United States, the Washington Compost published a story claiming that Russian hackers penetrated the U.S. power grid through a utility in Vermont. The Compost subsequently was forced to concede that the incident had no links to the Russian government, and the computer involved was a laptop that wasn't connected to the electrical grid, and there may not have even been any malware on the laptop. They made the story out of thin air. Now, when that treasure trove of secret NSA tools were revealed, Russian hackers were blamed. Turned out to be a leak by an NSA insider. And, of course, the evidence that the Russians hacked Democratic Party emails and leaked them to WikiLeaks, it's just not there. And, again, more attention is being called to the fact that the only evidence presented for Russia hacking the DNC servers came from this company called CrowdStrike that worked for the DNC. And last March, they withdrew their statements, and they're refusing to testify before Congress. So there's nothing there. And more people are starting to ask this very important question. Why were America's law enforcement agencies skilled in cybercrime not allowed to look at the servers? Department of Homeland Security didn't, FBI didn't, CIA didn't. Nobody got to look at the servers. We were just supposed to take the word of CrowdStrike, who has now withdrawn it, and Hillary Clinton, who wouldn't know the truth if it hit her in the face. All right, we're going to do a quick little shout-out to our on-air affiliates just now rejoining the network. Tucker Carlson is out there basically denouncing that CNN is no longer a news channel. And they may call themselves a news network. It's not true. And Tucker Carlson's specific point was earlier in the week when CNN refused to cover one of Trump's rallies. The media is tremendously biased toward liberals. Now, interestingly enough, shortly after President Trump said that he did not record any of his conversations with James Comey, James Comey was spotted entering the offices of the New York Slimes in Slime Square, New York City. And, of course, you remember back during his testimony before the Senate, he confessed under oath he was the source of a leak to the New York Slimes about this meeting he supposedly had with the president before he was fired in June. And again, all of these top officials serve at the pleasure of the president, and the president has a right to fire them at any time for any reason or no reason at all. I don't like that necktie. You're gone. Bill Clinton fired his head of the FBI just one day before Vincent Foster was suicided, threw the upper levels of the FBI into turmoil. The new FBI director was literally being sworn in at the White House the very day that Foster was killed. Now, a little bit of good news coming out of that shooting in Alexandria, Virginia. The two patients who were in intensive care are now out of intensive care. They are recovering. They're obviously going to have some interesting scars to show in their private moments, but they're both out of intensive care, and that, of course, includes Scalise. Apparently, an official of the Democratic Party got caught on tape saying that he was glad Scalise got shot, and I wish he was blanking dead. No empathy at all. No empathy at all. Well, of course, Congress is quick to react. And Republican lawmakers out there saying they want to make it legal to carry a gun in Washington, D.C. Now, Washington, D.C. has very, very strict gun laws. They used to be stricter. The Supreme Court kind of loosened them up a little bit. The caveat here is, of course, that the bill that they're proposing to make it legal to carry a gun in Washington, D.C. is only for members of Congress. You serfs, you slaves, you don't need guns. Okay. And I'm getting sick and tired of all these liberals who are still out there making jokes about Trump dying. And apparently the latest happened over at the Glastonbury Festival in Great Britain. Johnny Depp got up on the stage and joked, when was the last time an actor assassinated a president? Which is obviously a reference to John Wilkes Booth. But he was out there pushing his film, The Libertine. And the audience apparently cheered. And Depp has since apologized, agreeing it was a tasteless comment to make. But look at this huge line of celebrities who have done things like this, like Kathy Griffin. They all think this is all jolly stuff. And again, I'm very disappointed in Donald Trump, especially on the issues of foreign interventions. But it's not appropriate to talk about harming him or killing him. We talk about the issue. The wars are bad for the United States. They're certainly not very good for the countries we're trying to invade or the people who live in them. But that's how you're supposed to treat this in an adult-like manner. Not run around making these tasteless jokes. And the summer of rage is still going on because over at a free speech rally in Santa Monica, California, Trump supporter Tony Foreman was stabbed 9 times. And they're saying, obviously, it was politically motivated, was a hate crime, and he was targeted for his pro-Trump view. And he's in intensive care. So, now, over on Broadway, I guess they're getting tired of Hamilton and some of these other plays. There is a new stage adaptation of George Orwell's 1984. And for the opening night, they have a special guest, George Orwell's son, Richard. And Richard was just a kid in 1949 when George Orwell finished the book. Basically he's out there saying it's kind of scary how prescient the book is, and it's still as fresh today as it was back then, and he's absolutely right. Orwell wrote it as a warning for future generations. Unfortunately, too many politicians thought it was a blueprint. All right, so let's talk about the war zones here. The army is regaining more ground near Palmyra. The Syrian government, pro-government forces are making great gains. And again, looking at the situation maps from March versus today, they've made a huge amount of progress. They have advanced further against ISIS and the U.S.-backed militants in the province of Homs. And there's the line between ISIS and the U.S.-backed militants is getting really, really blurred. I'll elucidate on that a little bit later in the show here. And apparently they captured Tal Gurab, northwest of the U.S. garrison of Zakouf near the Syrian-Iraqi border. And with the liberation of Tal Gurab, the SAA and its allies increased pressure on U.S.-backed militants operating in the area and strengthened the Syrian military position at the border with Iraq. So now they're up there against that border with Iraq, absolutely solid. And that leaves all those U.S. forces that were trying to get to Al-Tanf kind of abandoned in the desert. And I think the prudent and wise thing to do would be to start airlifting them out right now. Meanwhile, two Russian Navy frigates and a submarine fired 6-caliber cruise missiles on Islamic State targets in Syria. And they all hit their targets. They apparently run much better than the American cruise missiles. And those who survived the attack were then hit with airstrikes. So, very, very solid situation here. Now, Senator Tim Kaine, Hillary's, you know, running mate, is now saying, yes, the U.S. strikes on pro-Assad targets in Syria are completely illegal. And Congress, members of Congress are saying, it's time to take back Congress war authority. Now, the Constitution says only Congress can declare war, and Congress got around that back during the Bush administration. with sort of a pre-authorization of the use of force, so that the president could just play Napoleon anywhere on the planet he wanted to. And now members of Congress are saying it's gotten completely out of hand, and it's time to go back to playing by the rules. Now, under the War Powers Act, the president can deploy U.S. military forces in the face of an emergency for a limited period of time until Congress can get together and come to a decision whether or not the nation wants to go to war. And in this day and age of instantaneous electronic communication, that time interval ought to be a little bit smaller. But the idea of having a president just able to unilaterally send our kids off to war, that was never the way the country was supposed to work. Now, over in Raqqa, refugees interviewed by Russia Today are saying that it almost seems like the U.S. coalition planes are just dropping bombs at random, and they're killing more civilians than they are ISIS, and they're complaining about the indiscriminate use of white phosphorus, which is banned for use over residential areas. It's an incendiary, can cause horrific burns if it gets on you. The only legal use for white phosphorus under international law is to create clouds of smoke as a camouflage. But airdropping it onto residential units, which the U.S. coalition has been doing in Syria and Israel has been doing in Gaza, is banned under international law. It's a war crime. Now, here's a little bit of an embarrassment, a little bit of a whoopsie here. Apparently, one of the White Helmets volunteers was actually caught on video working with the U.S.-backed rebels dumping beheaded bodies into mass graves. And these were Syrian army troops who apparently, if they are captured alive, they're subjected to a tremendous amount of abuse. Now, the volunteer has been fired by the White Helmets, but it's out there. They're playing both sides. They're not who they claim to be here. Meanwhile, the Kurds are reaching kind of a critical juncture relative to the United States. Donald Trump is apparently caught in the middle of an argument within his own administration. Some of them want to expand the war in Syria by targeting the Iranian-linked elements, and the others are saying if you do that, it's going to mean basically endless conflict across the entire region, which a lot of people think is a bad idea, at least for the reason it will seriously disrupt the supply of oil coming out of there. And this argument is complicating an already complex situation where you have Syria, Iran, Turkey's kind of off doing its own agenda, Russia's in there, the U.S. is in there illegally, and it's going back and forth. Further complicating this is that apparently the U.S. plan was to treat the Kurds the way they treated Libya. Send in all kinds of arms and weapons to get Gaddafi out of power, then collect them all back up and ship them to the next battlefield. But investigative journalist Rick Sterling is out there saying that if the United States thinks that the Kurds are going to give those weapons back once ISIS is defeated, it's a fairy tale. It's wishful thinking. Once the Kurds have those weapons, they're not going to give them. They're not going to want to give them back. They're surrounded by enemies that they just stole big chunks of country from. Okay. Getting indications that Israel and Washington were the machinations behind the change in Saudi crown prince. They're asking, is war with Iran now inevitable with this new Saudi crown prince? More about this when we come back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're talking about the recent shakeup in the succession in Saudi Arabia. And to give you a little bit of background, you need to understand that virtually every king of Saudi Arabia all came from the same father, Ibn Saud. And he just punched out a bunch of kids all during his life. It's good to be the king. And the succession hands off from one to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. Now, the last king before King Salman was King Abdullah, and he, of course, declared his son to be the crown prince. Well, then Abdullah passed away, and the Saud family got together and decided that Abdullah's son was simply too young to take on the job, and so they handed the throne to the next brother in the line, who's King Salman. And King Salman, now that he is the king, has said that his own son will now be the crown prince. And now we're getting this information that Israel and Washington were bringing pressure to bear on this, because now the new crown prince, he owes Washington and Israel. And so people are asking now, is war with Iran now inevitable under the new Saudi crown prince? And it's a pressing question because the King Salman is already 81 and not really sure. He's showing signs of deterioration. All right, we're going to take a phone call here. James in Texas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, I wanted to talk about, you had said, I think, a month or two ago that our F-35 that the U.S. Lockheed Martin built kind of just gave it away to Israel or sold it for pennies. What was that? Did they just give it away or sell it?
Well, they technically don't give it. I mean, Israel uses the money the U.S. government gives them to turn around and buy U.S. weapons, and that's how Congress tries to say that this is all a really good thing because obviously the money's coming back into the United States and providing jobs for the military-industrial complex. Now, there was a scandal. It didn't involve the F-35. It involved older aircraft. It was either the F-15 or the F-16, where the Pentagon decided they had simply built too many of them. And so a bunch of them were simply declared as military surplus and sold to Israel basically at surplus prices. If you're my age, and you will remember that military surplus, real military surplus, a lot of stores claim to be military surplus, but they aren't. Real military surplus, you can get some really great stuff at really great prices, and that's basically how that came down.
So they build these things with taxpayer money.
Yep.
And then they sell them to other countries, and the profit goes to the company, not to the taxpayer?
No,
why
goes to the Treasury. Well, if it's sold by the Pentagon, it goes into the defense budget. The issue, though, is it's sold at a discount. The other issue is that Israel has a bad habit of reverse engineering weapons they get from the United States, copying them, and then selling their copies to other countries who may not be on good terms with the United States.
Like a national security issue.
It is a national security issue. There have been several cases where Israel has been entrusted with top-secret military technology by the United States, and then we find out they're selling it to other countries.
How is that safe for our troops, then?
Well, it isn't.
Well, why isn't anybody making more of a big deal about this?
Well, they should be. But, you know, in this country, take the lesson from Stephen Colbert. When Oliver Stone was on his show saying, Israel interferes with our elections a lot more than Russia does, the CBS producers cut it out of the show. Can't let the people see that. And it's a mark of the control, the influence Israel's government has over our nation. We are living under a puppet regime that rules us for a foreign power. And none of these other countries living under puppet regimes like it, and we shouldn't like it either. Okay?
Is that why they say our people are wasting money, like in food stamps and everything, and try to distract from that big thing?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because the money that's lost in food stamp fraud is pennies compared to military spending. Got to let you go, James. Got to do a commercial. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Nutramedical's Power C Plus is the greatest important breakthrough in vitamin C technology since Linus Pauling. It is the only neutral pH vitamin C in the world as a calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium ascorbate salt with bioperin, a black pepper extract, to increase absorption by 40%. When you take Power C Plus, it helps to alkalinize all the cells of your body instantly, raise the oxygen level and energetic level of cells, suppress cancer and inflammation in your body, and help you fight infections. Power C Plus also helps to build up the collagen in your body, hyaluronic acid in your joints, and the glycosaminoglycans in your joints, as well as to improve healing of any tissue in your body. Power C Plus is very unique at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, where you can order, or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse every day.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Now, over in Yemen, the leader of the Ansarullah movement, Abdul Malik al-Houthi, has basically slammed all of this Iranophobia, saying that the only reason that's being hyped up right now, along with the Russophobia, is to continue to divert attention from what's going on over in Israel, Gaza, and the West Bank. And I think he's absolutely on target with that comment. Now, getting on over to Qatar, the situation is ramping up. As you know, Saudi Arabia issued a new set of guidelines, or rather demands, rather. And we don't know what the whole list is just yet, but shutting down Al Jazeera permanently and cutting off all contact with Iran are high on the list. And apparently the Arab nations are also trying to put pressure on Turkey. In particular, Saudi Arabia is putting pressure on Turkey to close down their new military base in Qatar. And Turkey is saying, no, we just got that thing built. We're using it. We're not leaving it. So, anyway, over in Pakistan, Islamabad is condemning the U.S. continued use of drone strikes into their country on Pakistani soil against alleged but unproven militants. And they're denouncing these drone strikes as a violation of Pakistan's sovereignty, and they're absolutely right. When the U.S. sends a drone into somebody else's country without that government's permission, it is a violation of their sovereignty. And they're not very careful about picking out their targets. They use profiling. Gee, that person looks like they might be a terrorist. All right, kill him. His necktie clashes with his trousers. Kill him. He's too tall. Kill him. Now, as you know, there's been a recent kerfuffle over the fact that a Russian aircraft intercepted a U.S. spy plane that was flying too close to the Baltic Fleet, and the U.S. tried to make a stink of it because it was international airspace. But anybody who's running a fleet, they maintain basically a defensive zone around them. And anybody who's flying in international space understands you don't violate that. Bad things can happen. But as it turns out, apparently, in the past week alone, Russian jets have been forced to intercept 14 foreign spy planes flying along their national borders. Now, that doesn't sound like a training exercise. That sounds like probing, testing defenses, getting ready for an attack here. There is a very ugly story that's coming on out, and Claire and I are going to go into it in more depth during hour number three, but I'm going to mention it here. This goes back to the fact that the U.S. has been exposed as a nation that employs torture at places like Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo. And apparently there's a new report that the U.S. has been complicit in the use of torture at secret prisons in Yemen, where prisoners in Yemen have been tortured by the United Arab Emirates personnel and then handed over to U.S. forces for interrogation. Now, the U.S. forces, at least in this report, this came from Associated Press, the U.S. forces were not directly involved in the torture, but obviously they're aware of it. And they're aware that it's a war crime. Now, a little bit of good news coming on out here. The High Court in London ruled yesterday that the Conservative government acted unlawfully in trying to prevent local councils in the United Kingdom from divesting from firms involved in Israel's military occupation. In other words, Parliament tried to basically ban BDS, at least as far as the local councils, and the High Court in London said, no, that's illegal. You're not allowed to do that. Now, there's another little piece of good news. This came out a little while ago, but it's worth mentioning here. The United States Supreme Court has unanimously reaffirmed there is no hate speech exception to the First Amendment. And this goes back to that so-called Slants case. And they basically say that the idea that the government may restrict speech expressing ideas that offends strikes at the heart of the First Amendment. Speech that demeans on the basis of race, ethnicity, gender, religion, age, disability, or any other similar ground is hateful. But the proudest boast of our free speech jurisprudence is that we protect the freedom to express the thought that we hate. So, there's a victory for the Bill of Rights. Something to celebrate this coming July 4th. So basically, what the Supreme Court has said is that these so-called hate speech laws that Israel has lobbied for all across Europe, and they've been lobbying for them here, they're not going to get them. And again, this idea that you can silence somebody or shut them up because somebody somewhere is offended by what they say is ridiculous. You can't have a free society and no offense. It's impossible. You can't have democracy and not offend somebody. You cannot tell the truth without offending those who've got something to hide. And we have way too many people, especially over on the liberal Democrat side, whose entire sense of self-worth is always finding something to be offended about. So, let's talk about the economic news here. Apparently, at the very top of the Federal Reserve's worries is the credit card debt. And, of course, we have been advising our listeners and readers for a long time, get that credit card debt down. Especially on variable rate cards, when the Fed raises the prime rate, those interest payments on those cards go up, and they're already sky high. They're bordering on usury, bordering on legal loan sharkery, as it were. And apparently, there's a lot of default out there going on about credit cards. And they're looking at the projected losses from default on credit card bills at the top 34 banks as a potential serious problem. Well, it is and it isn't. It is in terms that the numbers look really, really bad, but it isn't when you remember it's all imaginary money, especially that interest. That money that they claim that you owe for the use of their make-believe money is just more make-believe. Banking is not a science. It's a religion. And when you open your eyes and look at it, you'll realize that all this Sturm und Drang and pain and suffering and poverty and hunger is all based on fairy tale money. There's no value to it. It's numbers in a computer. It's ink and paper. We are brainwashed into thinking it represents something real that we have an obligation to. The fact of the matter is, they could write off all this debt to restart the system. Nobody's going to miss a meal. Nobody's going to have their Wall Street condos repossessed. It's just numbers on balance sheets. It doesn't mean anything. But for those who are still enslaved into that belief system, the news is dire. Getting on back to Illinois, it is looking very, very serious. Illinois could be the first state to have to declare bankruptcy since the Depression of the 1930s, which would signal that we are, in fact, in another depression. Regardless of what euphemism they want to choose for it this time, let's just call it what it is. And a big part of it, Illinois' problems, are the unfunded liabilities. And again, when you try and run an entire economy on loaned money, the debt is always going to grow faster than the available money supply. What's going on in Illinois, what's going on all across America, was the inevitable result of the decision by Congress and Woodrow Wilson 100 years ago to illegally and unconstitutionally transfer the authority for the creation of the monetary system into the hands of a private bank. And I'm sure they were all well rewarded for it. And I'm sure they all went to bed at night satisfied that when the inevitable destruction came, they would be long dead and it wouldn't be their problem to have to live through. But here we are, and it is happening. Up in Canada, the Sears Canada division has gone bankrupt. They've had to lay off 2,900 people. Their investors are screaming over the losses. Sears down here is still not doing all that well either. And as we head into what at this point seems an inevitable major correction or crash, already we're seeing the Democrats figuring out how they're going to blame this on Donald Trump. And Trump's the new kid on the block. He hasn't been here long enough to significantly impact the economy. Like Herbert Hoover. The history books blame him for the Depression of the 1930s, but Hoover did not create the Depression. It was created for him by the bankers, by Wall Street. The same applies here. Now, of course, Donald Trump could do an Andrew Jackson, and I understand Donald Trump admires Andrew Jackson. He's got a portrait of him, apparently, up in the White House. Shut down that private central bank. And Congress has the authority to do it at any time. They can simply vote to revoke the charter. And there's a repayment of a loan to the owners of the Federal Reserve, but at today's inflated dollars, it's really not that much money. And they could do it. But Congress won't. Congress loves those very fat campaign donations they get from all those Wall Street companies and the Federal Reserve. And I think one of the biggest mistakes Woodrow Wilson made, along with signing the Federal Reserve Act, is that they didn't put a provision in there to forbid the Federal Reserve from engaging in any kind of lobbying or political activity. By the way, something a lot of people don't realize, do you know the Federal Reserve does not pay any taxes on all the money they're making? It's right there in the Federal Reserve Charter. The only taxes they pay are the property taxes for the land on which their banks sit. And they're exempt from all other taxes. What a sweet deal that is. What a sweet deal that is. All right. We talked about this before, but we're going to mention it again because we've got a little bit more detail. Before 1973, it was actually illegal in the United States to profit off of health care. Everything connected with health care was run as a service, and they were forbidden from exploiting the fear and pain and suffering of patients to loot and plunder them. But in 1973, Richard Nixon signed into law the Health Maintenance Organization Act of 1973, which allowed medical insurance agencies, hospitals, clinics, and doctors to begin functioning as for-profit business entities. And now you know who to blame for the sky-high cost of medical care in this country. And Nixon signed this as a friend to his friend and campaign financier, Edgar Kaiser, who was then the president and chairman of Kaiser Permanente. And guess which insurance company got the first taste of federal subsidies to implement the Health Maintenance Act of 73? It was Kaiser Permanente. By the way, a little bit of history about Kaiser Permanente. People are wondering just where did it actually come from. It actually came out of Kaiser Aluminum, which was a company that went into business when aluminum was first developed as a commercial product. It was Kaiser Aluminum, and they actually did a lot of good stuff, a lot of good product. They even actually funded deep-sea research submersibles, very advanced for their day, all built out of aluminum, of course, because that was where the advertising tie-in came from. And Kaiser Aluminum was so large, they set up a health program for their own employees, Kaiser Permanente. And Kaiser Aluminum eventually went out of business, and Kaiser Permanente spun off as a standalone company, and that's where it comes from here. So getting on down to Great Britain, there's still a lot of brouhaha going on over whether Brexit is actually going to happen or not. And apparently Vince Cable is in secret talks with conservative Remainers to try and frustrate the Brexit. And Vince is admitting he's having these secret talks with Europhile MPs in the Conservative Party, and they are going to try and scupper Brexit. They still want to kill it. Now, London Mayor Sadiq Khan is putting pressure on Prime Minister May to abandon the hard Brexit approach. They're terrified by a hard Brexit. It could be over and done with before they have a chance to intervene, and that's what they want to do. They want the soft Brexit that's going to run for 2 years, which will give them time to find some way to undermine that. Over in the European Union, their chief is out there saying Britain should have a second referendum. Tusk is out there saying British voters can still stop Brexit. They didn't before. Remember, before the original Brexit vote, which was just about a year ago, all the polls were saying Brexit was going to fail. All the media was saying Brexit was going to fail. Brexit passed. and it'll pass a second time. What are they going to do? Come on back and double up on the election fraud? We'll keep holding these elections until we get the results we want. Who cares what you slaves want? You don't count in this world. Only rich people matter out here. People with titles of nobility. George Soros, of course, is out there flapping his mouth saying there will be a new marriage between Great Britain and Europe before the Brexit divorce goes through. He's still out there championing that one world government. We'll be right back.
Weekend of June 24th, more than 40,000 ham radio operators across North America will head for the hills during their annual Field Day event. Field Day is Ham Radio's open house, where hams showcase the science, skill, and service ham radio brings to our communities. Ham radio is making, creating, communicating, and fun. Ham radio is for everyone, including you. Come visit a Field Day site near you. Learn more at arrl.org/fieldday.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The weekend of June 24th, more than 40,000 ham radio operators across North America will head for the hills during their annual Field Day event. Field Day is Ham Radio's open house, where hams showcase the science, skill, and service ham radio brings to our communities. Ham radio is making, creating, communicating, and fun. Ham radio is for everyone, including you. Come visit a Field Day site near you. Learn more at arrl.org/fieldday.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And Europe is definitely starting to strain against the EU, and the cracks are showing, and people are starting to shout for freedom and independence. They're tired of all this layer upon layer upon layer of government riding on their backs, local, county, state, national, supranational, eventually global. It's just too much. Over in Spain, they're hitting a crisis point. Catalan has put in a request to the Spanish government to hold an independence referendum, and the Spanish government said no, even though Spain is a member of the United Nations and constrained by the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights that says any people have a right to hold a referendum to secede. And so Catalan has said, well, we're going to go ahead and have the referendum anyway. We were trying to be nice and polite about this, but we're going to have the referendum anyway. And when they have the referendum, if they get a majority of yes votes, the region's government, Catalan's government, said it will immediately start proceedings to separate from Spain. That might actually trigger another Spanish war. Now, the Ukrainian ex-president Leonid Kuchma has basically lashed out against the European Union, saying that the EU actually triggered the Ukrainian crisis, because in their relations between Ukraine and the EU, the EU economically brought Ukraine to its knees and then tried to come on in and say, well, you should just join with us. And that was a real major reason why Ukraine said, no thank you, Russia's offering us a better deal, we're going to go and be friends with Russia, which is what triggered the coup d'etat in Kiev and the installation of puppet ruler Poroshenko. So you can see where that's going. Now, I applaud the Supreme Court's decisions regarding the First Amendment. I'm not so sure I agree with this one. And apparently, the Supreme Court, in another unanimous decision, officially limited the federal government's ability to strip citizenship from immigrants who were caught lying on their naturalization forms. And their reasoning was the false statements are not relevant to an immigration official's decision to grant citizenship. I think that's absurd on the face of it. And the Supreme Court is saying a jury has to decide if the false statements change the decision. And that's going to make it much more difficult to deport immigrants who have lied on their naturalization papers. And basically, it's sending out a message. Go ahead and lie on the forms. Nothing bad will happen to you. Story coming out of naturalnews.com. Oh, we got to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.